This is the Morgan Report with David Morgan. For the latest in precious metals investing, gold, silver, the economy, and more, go to themorganreport.com.
Everybody, join me right now is David Morgan. He is known around the world as the Silver Guru, and I'm going to start off by asking him about that moniker. But first, David, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you very much, and thanks for asking for the interview.
Well, it's my pleasure. The term Silver Guru, is that tongue-in-cheek? Do you take that very seriously? Because a lot of people call
you... No, I don't take myself that seriously. I am a serious person, and I've got some sense of humor. It's a rather dry one, but no, I just used it as kind of... Actually, it started with getting a Hotmail account. I had to get a Hotmail account before I actually built the website. And I did everything by myself in the beginning. Tell you how old I am. I used Netscape to build my first website. So when I was looking for a moniker for, Hotmail, I used Silver Guru. So I typed in, Silver Guru was taken. And, oh, that's interesting. Silver Guru 1. Oh, that's taken. Well, Silver Guru 2. That's taken. What the heck with it? Silver Guru 22. You can have that one. So that's how it came about. It kind of stayed. Some people take it more seriously about me than myself. And, I've made some pretty good calls, and I've made my share of errors like everybody.
No. No one these days makes mistakes.
Yeah, right. It's always someone else's fault, right?
What was the catalyst for you to really want to get involved in silver?
Oh, boy. Actually, I just did an update for our members today. I kind of went through it vaguely. But first of all, as everyone knows, it's read my first book, Get the Skinny on Silver Investing, which isn't published anymore, but I'm sure there's enough used copies on Amazon, probably for a buck. I was 11 years old when the coin exchanged. I was getting 25 cents a week allowance, and they were all silver quarters. And then one day, my dad plopped one in my hand. It was a Johnson Slug, and I took note of it. But none of the adults around me seemed to. But at that point in time, I didn't become the silver guru and, become my main charge. But I started looking into the monetary system. Money fascinated me, and the idea that you could invest and make money. In other words, you could like loan money or put money to work using other people's ideas, the stock market, the basics of it. All that really intrigued me as a very, very young person. So it kind of fascinated me. You could actually just use capital as a means of helping others and helping yourself at the same time. I thought, man, this is pretty cool. How do you do it? And so I started, diving in at a young age. But as far as, how it evolved, I have an aircraft background, and it was, on the dark side. I had both worked in the white and the black world. And I'll just leave it at that. But I was right next to the test pilots, and one of them had a newsletter service. I had an idea what that was. So I started reading from it. We were waiting to do engine runs. And so that piqued my curiosity about this privately published, no-nonsense alternative news source about investing. And so I started looking into that. And that's what sparked my interest. And once I found out about that, man, that's really what I want to do. And so one thing led to another, and I won't bore you with the details, but I finally got there. And without the internet, I probably wouldn't have. But with the internet and the availability that the internet provides, I was able to start my report service, my newsletter service.
That doesn't seem like the kind of thing most 11-year-olds just formulate an idea about. Did you have some thought leaders around you at the time, like parents or grandparents? Was there anyone in your life who steered you in that direction?
Oh, boy, that's a good question. No, I really didn't. But what I did have, I was one of those kids that when they took the tests, what they call it, the men in dark suits showed up, and I'm exaggerating, but I was taken aside and given another set of tests, and then I was taken by this nice lady into a room, and she asked me to continue to read these words until you can't read them or explain what they mean. And I was in second grade, and I got to the word idiosyncrasies, and I didn't know what it meant. They put me in a special program, and that's not the one where you ride the little bus, but maybe some people might think that about me. So I just was a self-starter, a self-motivator, and a bit of an isolationist, believe it or not. I mean, it's very much the kind of kid that, when everyone was playing in the playground, I'm talking early years, I'm talking about, 8, 9, 10, before I hit 11. This would observe everything and everyone kind of a thing. So it's in my nature to be studious. It's in my nature to be fascinated by life, all aspects. I couldn't learn enough, and I just, consumed books. I mean, this was pre-internet, obviously, and so I kind of, and there were mentors measures as I went along. So to answer the question fully, once I started to get into the newsletter landscape, and this is more in my 20s, but between 11 and 20, suffice it to say, I read a lot of books on economics, finance, money, the history of money. It's like, well, it used to be pure gold and silver, and it was bimetallic. Why? What happened? Why did they take it out? And all that type of stuff. So I had a pretty good background, self-taught. And I probably answered the question by then. But no, it was self-motivation. So then when I started reading, I got on to people that were leaders in the first bull market, which I was involved in, but not as a writer. And that's, Harry Brown. So most of these guys are deceased now. James Sibbett, Howard Ruff, Jim Dines way back then. Doug Casey was like the youngest guy. I mean, he was right at the very end of the market. Doug Casey, I read him as soon as he came out, but he was like at the tail end of the market.
So when you say tail end of the market, though, you're talking about the market that ended around 1980?
Yeah, I am. Sorry. Of course. Yeah, that's exactly what I meant.
Okay, right. Okay, well, speaking of stories, you really touched on something here I'm fascinated with, and that's the idea of out-of-the-box thinking and being a self-motivated thinker and looking at alternatives. Do you see that amongst your travels, when you talk with folks, there's a really varied, because I see a varied, wide spectrum of belief systems when it comes to people that also invest in silver?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, gold, there's a lot of jokes among what I'll call the establishment, or let's call it the mainstream, about gold and gold bugs. And, it must be the vast majority, 90%, 98%. I don't know. They kind of scoff about gold bugs. But you can take that up another factor, another order of magnitude, which people know means 10 times when you talk about silver bugs. I mean, I've met some pretty interesting gold aficionados, but when it comes to silver, I've met some of the smartest people I know are in the silver space, but some of the oddest people I've met in the silver space.
And why is that? David, why do you think that is? I've seen kind of the same thing. Why do you think silver seems to attract that sort of mentality?
I'm not certain, but I'll just stab at maybe not even an answer, but some comments. First of all, gold is still basically establishment, believe it or not. And why do I say that with authority? Well, if you go back just 20 years to the BIS, Bank of International Settlements. Ooh, can't speak today. The Banker's Bank, I mean, they used to settle everything in gold only. Whenever you were doing a report for the BIS and you were a member bank, you didn't tell them how much foreign currency or what your foreign exchange rate was or what your bond portfolio looked like. All you told them was how much gold you owned. I think that speaks volumes. Of course, that's been that's undercover now. We don't know what they report. It's private. But moving on, most of your central banks still own bullion, and that's for a reason. But they poo-poo it in public, but they add to their positions. Of course, China, India, and Russia are openly, adding to their coffers of gold. So gold is pretty establishment, whereas silver was demonetized in the crime of 1873. And if you read any of Charles Savoy's work, which is much superior to mine on the conspiracy side, in fact, I think his website or web domain is silverstealers.com, if I remember correctly. But type in Charles Savoy, S-A-V-O-I-E, and silver, and I'm sure you'll find a plethora of articles to read that Charlie has done massive amounts of research, backed up by article after article, like the New York Times and other periodicals that he shows you he got his information from. But basically, the Anglo-American Empire, primarily the Brits, primarily coming out of the London banks, have wanted silver out of the monetary system for years, meaning like in the late 1880s or before that. I mean, the crime of 1873, going back to reiterate, what I've said before, but this is a new podcast and people may not have heard it before, but, the whole metaphor about the Wizard of Oz was really about the Yellow Brick Road and the Eastern establishment, the Emerald City, wanting to make sure that it was a gold-only road. And silver, the guys out there that were silver nuts, to be basically taken advantage of, and let's not use silver in the monetary system, and that way us Eastern bankers could control things. It's a lot easier to control a small commodity when there's less of it, you own most of it.
Do you believe there's a conspiracy to keep silver prices up, down, sideways, whatever? I mean, are you a believer in that?
Well, I wrote a chapter in the Silver Manifesto called Silver Price Manipulation or whatever. I did write about manipulation in the silver market in that book, and it's an academic read. This is, you know, something you're not going to, you know, be a sixth grade reader and understand. I use the Sharpe's ratio and prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that it's not a random walk. In other words, it's not a free market as far as price patterns are concerned. I'll leave it at that. My standard answer is basically this. The overall trend cannot be manipulated, but within a trend that you can certainly make price movements if you so desire. And I believe that.
Yeah.
But, you know, is there a room and everybody calls up and says, hey, so-and-so, let's do this and that. Generally speaking, no. Specifically speaking, yes. I mean, that's been proven in a court of law multiple times that, you know, some of these chat boxes that these guys do on the Blackberries when they had their secret formula, you know, would text back and forth about, okay, now's a good time to hammer. Let's go. And that can be done. It can be done in silver.
Wait, hold on. Back up. I hate to interrupt you, but
yeah. So sure, go ahead.
What you're saying is back in the day before the internet, before the sort of transparency we have with communication, you're suggesting that there were entities who literally said, let's just pound this thing right now. Like,
No. You misunderstood me. Okay. Thanks for asking for clarification. No, in days prior to the internet, I'm sure, and it's been proven in history, there's been attempts to like corner the gold market and that type of thing. But no, nothing like that. No, I'm talking about modern times where you had these really instant communication systems where you get a group of banks together and, you know, they're all short together. And then one, you know, adds on to the pile, so to speak, and that's what breaks the camel's back. Okay. That's been proven. That doesn't happen every day, and it's going to happen on this Thursday. And I think, generally speaking, no, but specifically, yeah, there's been some instances of that.
You mentioned the crime of 1873. I'd like to talk about the crime of 2011.
Okay.
I'd like to know from you, from your perspective, was the crime the way the bankers pushed the prices up into the hands of retail buyers, or was the crime the way the bankers handed those retail buyers the silver at the top all the way down for the last 5 years as they pounded prices lower? Which one of those do you think is the crime?
So when the price starts to get away, what they do, meaning the smart money, not every trader, but the big boys, the smart money, the commercials, they'll let it run because they know better. So they just let the market be free at that point, and it goes higher and higher and higher. And that's what happened in the time frame you're referring to. So as it went higher and higher, they just stand aside and they watch the volume. That's the most important thing. So they see what the retail appetite is. So if the volume is 10, and then 3 days later, it's 8, and then 8 days later, it's 6, and then a week after that, it's down to 5. They know that it's weakening, even though the price is going higher. Because remember, the last person that bids on a stock or a commodity, even though it might be one contract, at the highest price ever, that's all it takes to move one contract and set a new high, right?
Right.
We understand
that's
that.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of people that don't understand the very basics of how markets move. So they watch it. So now, as it was getting, let's say, to the 3-2 level, that's when the banks start to short the market because they're going to move it down, and they can because they're just watching free markets for a change. So they're watching the parabolic move, and they're going to take advantage of it. So they start to short the market, but there's more momentum to the upside, and they start to short the market more, and there's still more momentum to the upside. So what they do to make certain that they can't lose is exactly what they did last time in the 1980s, and they get the exchange to increase margin requirements. So now, if you're long and you own and you're making money, you know, every day, they call you up and say, you know, your account's at $250,000, but you need to add $150,000 to keep all your silver positions. What? I just made $200,000 in the last 2 weeks. Why do I have to add to my account? I was thinking about buying more silver. Oh, no. The margin requirements have been changed. In order for you to keep all those contracts, you have to add $150,000, have it in 2 days, or we're going to start selling off your account. So you start to sell. So this is what they do. And they upped margin requirements. I don't want to misstate it, and I don't want to exaggerate anything, but I know it was at least 3. I think it was 4 times in that 2011 move before they got the market to start moving down.
So when people listen to you, I think a lot of people are going, okay, that's great. And when do I buy? Everything you just said.
Well, that's why I have a membership service. I mean, you know, why would you waste your time? But, you know, I mean, I don't repair my own automobile. You know, I go to the best mechanic I can find and, you know, pay him because he's going to do the job right and save me time
David, this is 2018. I cannot allow you to say, use a gender specific pronoun. You can't say he or him. him, they or them. I'm sorry. It's 2018.
Okay, go to them. Sorry. Thank you for the correction.
You got it. Okay, go ahead. You were saying.
You know, one thing I have found, and I never really try to talk over anyone's head. Now, what you've asked me, I'm answering your questions. I mean, this is, you know, a much higher level than I usually am at, you know, interviewed at, and that's fine. I'm happy to do it. And there are some percentage. They'll understand absolutely everything I said. And there's, you know, 80%, probably I'll get 80% of it. And that's probably worthwhile. The point is that, you know, in my field, there's a lot of competition. And what we do in the resource sector is probably one of the best research reports that you do. But it's not for a beginning investor. I would highly recommend that if you're new to the stock market or, you know, the Morgan Report wouldn't be for you. But if someone that's really interested in the resource sector and wants research performed for them to save them time, then that would be something for them to consider.
Boiling it down, because obviously we're not going to get a dissertation in this discussion, but boiling it down, why should someone, I mean, I know this is a big question, but try to, you know, condense it. Why should someone buy silver today? If someone looks at the charts and they go, you know, silver is going nowhere. It's flat to down for years. It got hammered from the highs. And I just listened to David Morgan tell me about all this stuff, push it up and jamming it down. Someone listening right now says, I got about $20 in my pocket. I can either go to Pizza Hut, I can go to a movie. I can't do both these days on $20, but I could buy a Silver Eagle. Why would they buy the Silver Eagle as opposed to do anything else with their $20 right now?
Well, because they're willing to forego, you know, immediate gratification for saving for something, you know, later on. And number one, all fiat currencies have failed throughout all of recorded history, which means the dollar is going to fail and really is failing. Number two, silver is the most undervalued monetary asset in existence right now. So you know that currencies fail, the dollar's failing, silver is undervalued, and it's always been money, regardless of what the mainstream talks about it. And if you're willing to forego some time, you may come out ahead of real purchasing power by buying silver.
But how would you answer someone who says, but wait, David, have you not seen the dollar on a tear? Have you not seen since Trump took office that this economy is literally going gangbusters, the dollar stronger than ever, etc.? You know, commodities prices are down, although oil is up. Precious metals aren't going anywhere. How can you say the dollar is getting weaker? I mean, I'm playing the devil's advocate here. What would you say to someone who told you that?
Yeah, it's a great comment. What I would say is you're right. I mean, it takes what context are we speaking about? If you're looking at long-term, short-term, or intermediate term, I mean, most of these mutual fund people will show you that they have this huge performance of, you know, if you bought my mutual fund now and you sold it then, you're going to make all this money. But they cherry pick the starting line and the finish line. And so you could do that. Now, you know, the truth is, the metals have been miserable for most metals investors. I mean, on the equity side, we've done pretty well the last few years. And during 2016, we ripped it. That's what the Morgan Report really does. And of course, I've always advocated for everybody to buy physical metal first. And that's good for most people. That's why we have, you know, the subscriber base we have, because the next level up, and unfortunately or not, I mean, I don't run the world and I don't make the rules and I don't even know how everything works. What I do know is that more money has been made in paper silver than will ever be made in physical silver. Anytime, not only in the futures market, but in the equity side. I mean, if you bought silver standard at 65 cents when we bought it and watched it go to $40, that's the kind of dream come true of what people wanted silver itself to do, which hasn't happened yet.
You just said a truth that was worth the price of admission to this video. I'd like you to go back again, if you don't mind, and really hammer that point about paper silver has made people way more money than physical, and explain, if you can, just a little bit about how powerful that is.
It is extremely powerful, and it's not something that I, you know, puff my chest out and say with a lot of glee, because, you know, I'm an honest money advocate. I'm one of the biggest advocates out there that was what's left of the what's called the honest money movement. But moving aside, in fact, I was at one of the first places I ever asked to speak was over at the Mining Engineers Conference in Coeur d'Alene, which is a hour and a half from where I live. And this old timer came up to me and said, well, you sound really smart. And you remind me of Vern Meyer, which was a huge compliment to me. You can look up Vern Meyer. He's a Canadian that lived in Spokane and wrote Meyer's Finance and Energy, one of the best report or newsletters ever. But anyway, because, you know, you always make more money in paper silver than you do in the metal. And I'm going, absolutely. For example, on these crazy penny stocks, I mean, in the Spokane Stock Exchange, exchange, which is long extinct. I mean, there'd be during a tear where like you had in 2011, silver went from like 19 to 48. I mean, in that kind of a move, you would have some of these penny stocks on the Spokane Stock Exchange go from 2 cents to 20 bucks and some, and yeah, can get extremely wealthy if they know what they're doing. Now, I don't like the paper, the penny stock market very much. I do provide some speculations in the Morgan Report and a well-researched, and our batting average is better than most, but still pretty horrific. You know, if you want to buy silver at $5 like it was, you know, when I started the website, you have to find the underlying equities that are underknown and underfollowed that we research out for you and be patient. And that's where you're going to catch up to people that bought it. But again, I don't want to change my stripes. Everyone should start with real metal first.
Right.
That's
right.
The most important. It's not going anywhere. You pass it on to your heirs. It's real. It's anonymous. It's great. And that's where you should start. And if you have enough of that, then you might consider getting with somebody, myself or someone like me, to help you invest further. But this is something that's not for everyone. But the truth is, paper silver kills the physical silver in some instances. I mean, really, the penny stock market's extremely difficult. And a lot of those things are moose pasture. And they'll go from 2 cents to 25 cents, and then they'll go to zero. So silver is never going to zero.
By the way, so much truth. You know, what you just said in about 10 seconds is so much truth. They can go from zero to whatever, 20 bucks, 20 bucks to zero, but physical's never going to zero. So you've got this on one side, you got to time it pretty well. On the other side, with the physical, not so much. And that, in a nutshell, is how I view the market myself. You can make money either way. I am personally, in full disclosure, buying silver now at these prices. I think silver could go down to 12, 10. And even I could see silver dropping to even 9, but I believe between now and all the way down to 9 or so, 20 years out, I'm going to feel like a king. Are you with me on this, David?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I turned 65 in January, and, you know, I have a great lifestyle. I'm still passionate about what I do, and I love doing interviews like you're giving me. You know, I've had a pretty interesting life. I don't need a bigger house. In fact, I probably need a smaller one, but I digress. So I may not be here 20 years from now. So it may go to my heirs or whatever, but I still think it's a great purchase right here, and I don't think it's going to take 20 years. I actually think it's within 5. I think the last leg of any bull market is the most powerful. It's not the longest lasting, but it's the most powerful. So I could see silver making a new nominal high, which means above 50. I could see silver at 100. I give out for my members, I have a metal business card. I give it to them and I tell them, you know, when silver hits 100, I am paying for the party at the Davenport Hotel in Spokane, Washington. And it's all on me. You just have to get there on your own. I'm not paying your travel expenses.
Yeah,
you show that card, you get in for free.
Yeah, I think anyone who thinks 50 is the high for all time, I think they are making a huge mistake. And we, this is technical. We won't get deep into this now. But if you look at a lot of the volume and look at charts that go back 100 years since you've been able to track this stuff as specifically as we can now, 50 will be a stopping point, but it's not the top, in my opinion. Now, that's why I'm buying from 16 on down, because I think that the returns could be big somewhere downstream. So is silver for the apocalypse, or is it to make a profit?
It's both. If you go to Google or Bing or any search engine, type in the 10 rules of silver investing by David Morgan. You'll see them printed several places on the internet. And I also did a video on every rule. And the first rule answers that question.
All right. David Morgan, thanks for being here. My first guest on my new channel. I appreciate it. Everybody go check out David Morgan, the silver guru. And I think one of the most humble gurus I've ever heard. I've never heard someone as a guru admit to actually getting some things wrong, which is amazing. That's why you ought to go check out his stuff. And David, thanks for being here. Anything you want to add before we close?
Yeah, I'd love to get everyone on our free email list. All you have to do is go to the website, themorganreport.com, themorganreport.com, all one word, and just give us a first name and a valid email address. It's a double opt-in, which means you're going to get checked, and you'll get a link that you'll have to say, yep, I want it, and it's me. And once you click that, you'll be on our free report service.
Fantastic, everybody. themorganreport.com. David Morgan, thanks for being here, and next time I'll try to make the questions even more exciting.
You did a good job, Bob. Thank you.
This is The Morgan Report with David Morgan. For the latest in precious metals investing, gold, silver, the economy, and more, go to themorganreport.com.